Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans. Hello, everybody. Thank you for supporting Three Bean Salad.
If you're listening to this, you are a Sean Bean or a Pinto Bean Patreon.
Not a Haricot idiot.
Not one of the Haricot scum. If you're not, you are listening to this illegally.
Yes, good point.
Yeah, you have until midnight to turn yourselves in.
You can turn yourself in anywhere, at any police station or any Amazon pickup or Hermes send back station shop. All you need to do is get yourself into a big envelope or...
Yeah, we'll send you a printable QR code.
All you need to do is print that off, and if you bring it to a Hermes drop-off centre, explain you need to be wrapped in... or you need to be put into a big package or wrapped in anything manila-coloured.
I'm spotting some problems with your plan, Henry.
Yes.
I don't think Hermes operates worldwide, and there might be people breaking the law and listening to this illegally abroad.
We've got deals in place with all the local equivalents of Hermes.
FedEx.
Yeah, FedEx.
Deutsche Post.
Deutsche Post.
Sputnik Extreme.
And you get processed back to the UK, where you'll then be put into a genuine Hermes and sent to the processing centre, where you'll be given a harsh dressing down by an actor dressed as Mike Wozniak.
Welcome to Three Bean Salad Extra Beans, including extra bits from the shows, bonus material, exclusive content, and miscellaneous.
Extra bits.
Extra, extra, Bean's all about it.
Extra Bean. Never been heard bean before.
That was a fabulous meal, thank you. And if we could just have a look at your beans trolley.
A little note for this episode of Extra Beans. Extra Beans was so big this month, we've actually chopped it into two and created two Extra Beans episodes. So this is part one.
Some weeks ago, we shared our chat about aliens, but what we didn't realise was that one little chunk of it had been abducted, taken into outer space, heavily probed through its bottom, and then dumped in a wheat field. We've dusted it off, and here it is.
Sorry, Mike, I've never heard of the South Hams.
The South Hams?
Ah. Oh.
Jewel in the crown of Devonshire.
Ben, you can't be serious. You've never enjoyed the South Hams?
No, I've never.
Are you more of a North Hammer? What are you?
He's got Tenby. He couldn't give two shits about what the West Country's got to offer.
No way.
You've got Tenby on your doorstep?
Yeah.
I've got Tenby a mere 90 minutes to 2 hours away.
With its pastel-coloured houses, isn't it?
Yes.
If you just paint a bunch of houses in a street pastel colours, people will just visit from far and wide.
I've always thought this, why more sort of rows of houses aren't like that? Mm. Because there's a row of houses in Cardiff that have done that, and they got on the news, like it's in...
Yeah.
They got in the paper, and all they'd done was paint their house pink.
Yeah. Does it need to be a coastal town, though, ideally?
Well, I tell you what, there's a row of pastel houses in London that are quite popular, but they're on their way to Carnaby Street. No, not Carnaby Street. Portobello Road. Portobello Road. That's how I remember Portobello Road. I have to sing that.
Well, you've got a tune for every major London street, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's Columbia Road, Flower Market.
Oh, you're in Cuckfusters again, my son. How did you end up here?
Yeah, that's my cuckfuster.
That was quite Neil Diamond-y, Henry.
Yeah.
Washed up in Cuckfusters yet again. Just me in a bar and you, stumbling out of the loo, with your high-heeled shoe.
That's my, yeah.
Piccadilly line. We're riding to the end tonight. We're going to dun, Cuckfusters.
Changing that. Baron's Court, same platform. It's an easy change, but the mini news agent has not been open since the 80s. Oh, the A1 brackets M is the gateway to the M1, and then the north of England. Hoi! How I love to get on a motorway from London town.
Oh, yeah. I'm driving past Heston Services again. Better make a joke about if it's to do with Heston Blumenthal. And then there'll be a serious conversation because actually there may be some link, but none of us are sure. But there's definitely a Costa. Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely. Such a wonderful, vibrant musical town.
It is, London.
Do you sort of assign a different musical artist to each tube line?
Yes.
So if the Piccadilly line is very sort of Neil Diamond.
Piccadilly, it's all Neil Diamond. It's husky, it's divorced. It's seen life. It's rattled around these streets for, well, under these streets for God knows how long. It's seen things, you know, it's seen things you wouldn't believe. It's
been around for ages, but it's wearing some very tight jeans.
Yeah, it's been around the block loads and loads of times, but yeah, it's got very tight jeans and it's got studded belt.
It's paid off at least 22 roadies. Yeah, made them sign NDAs.
Well, Bakerloo line is just one long sax solo, obviously.
Yeah,
for obvious reasons.
Jubilee is very much sort of space age techno synth.
Yeah.
I think it's, Kraftwerk, isn't it? Canada water. Greenwich something.
West Hampstead. it's futuristic. It's very much... it's the first and only line on London's Underground that I believe has a station where there are platform doors as well as train doors, tube doors, and they open simultaneously and in line with each other. So that you can get on and off the train.
And you can imagine you're exiting an airlock.
Exactly.
Directly into space.
Yeah.
And one day, of course, it will extend eventually out into orbit.
That's the idea. We should be zone 9, I think. Yeah. Northern Line is sort of Woody Guthrie type. Northern Line is...
That's not the vibe I used to get when I used to...
Oh, did you not?
...go through Clapham, certainly.
Oh, did you not? It's just you in the road and a can of diesel with a wig on it that you talk to, you know, for months on end, writing poetry on the back of a fag packet with a fag.
Rootin', tootin', tootin' back.
Tootly, exactly. Yeah. Tootly, wootly, Amsterdam. Yeah.
The Northern Line, Henry, I mean, I always found it was just full of bastards. It's the most bastardy tube
Northern
line.
Do you think it's a bastard line?
Yeah, everyone on it is evil.
They've got bastard escalators that direct bastards towards the Northern. You're probably blind to this, Henry, because you've lived there for most of your life, but for those who come and go, there are very clear signs directing bastards, a-holes, douchebags towards the Northern Line.
My feeling was always that Clapham South Station was like the kind of London epicentre of bastards.
Well,
so you're quite nice on the train, and then you get to Clapham South, and then all these bastards get on, and then for the rest of the journey is ruined.
It's possible. I will say the Northern Line is the deepest line. It's the closest to the Earth's core. That's why it's often got lifts instead of escalators.
So some of them are coming from the bowels of the Earth itself, you think?
It could be that's what's happening, yeah. Yeah. If Satan was to have minions that he wanted to mix amongst us, he would probably dress them up in sort of as commuters, wouldn't he, and stick them on the tube line in South London, potentially, wouldn't he?
And give them unwieldy backpacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the central line for me is just a long, hellish, never-ending yodel. It's a very stressful line.
Metropolitan line?
Yeah.
A line that nobody ever... nobody in their right mind gets on that.
No one ever gets on that line.
I assumed it was fictional.
I went on it once, and it took me to this sort of magical world.
Watford?
Of like, big houses and kind of...
Buckinghamshire.
Yeah, it was all just kind of suburban and, you know, people driving Mercedes around in big semi-detached houses and just kind of didn't feel very much like London at all. So I think that the music of the Metropolitan line would be kind of Tony Hadley smooth.
It's a Hadley smooth line. It's the only line where the train carriages, I think, are still organised with you sort of facing each other like you're in a sort of Agatha Christie novel. the seating is arranged in sort of four berth pods where you're sort of facing each other.
The sort of knee Tetris-based berths.
It's the knee Tetris base. Mm. And it's where...
And one of the four is always... An old colonel coming back from the war.
Exactly. One of them is a young duke with a who, rumour has it, has a precious gem concealed on his person somewhere.
a whip-smart maiden aunt.
That's right.
And then you.
You're the So
and you're dead.
And you're an everyman. You're a dead everyman.
You've been found to be dead.
Yeah. You've been found to be dead
at the end of the journey.
Yeah, you've got a very long, sort of elegant, ornate dagger emerging from your sort of forehead.
Yeah.
with just a very, 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 very delicate and sort of tidy amount of blood.
And the smallest ink spot.
Yeah.
On your left thumb.
And then standing up next to one of you reading that day's Metro will be a really, really thick policeman. Well, it can't have been any of these people because they said they didn't do it. Isn't it?
I shall report to the coroner this is natural causes.
He's fallen on the blade because he was having an attack of the coughs.
Oh, it's all for his time of year. Everyone's got a bloody
dropsy left, right and centre. He's got a scrofula to boot. My Uncle Jethro went in much the same way. So don't you come here with your sissy ways. Tell me any different.
Murder my eye.
Mike, this is the role you were born to play.
That's what I've been telling people for years.
The thick policeman.
Absolutely, completely two-dimensional.
Thick 1940s policeman.
Yes, please.
Do you know, us discussing the different vibes of different London tube lines is exactly the kind of thing which would get people outside of London absolutely riled.
Oh, yeah, and I was thinking that very thought as we were doing it.
Yeah. I mean,
the reason it's occurred to us is because we are both outside of London, of course.
Yeah.
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 You know.
So were you riled while you were doing it?
Whereas Henry's got no idea about any of this.
Love this. Yeah. 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 He thinks they're getting great insight.
But I mean, it's the magical town, isn't it? It's the magical town where we all dream to live. Isn't it? It is.
Well, let's do the same conversation and let's make it about the bus routes of Cardiff.
Ah.
The old 63.
Oh, yes.
To, I can't remember where it goes. Ely?
Yeah.
Let's say it's Ely.
So what genre is that? What genre is that one?
I don't know. I'm not taking it.
You see, years. This is it. This is what happens. Only London is the magical town, and I am a Londoner through and through.
what about the 79 from Whitchurch to Leckwith?
No one cares. Even residents of Lichworth and Keckwick. Is that what you said?
I don't know.
Mike's on the Cardiff bus website.
I'm on a map right now. I've already lost my place.
Even they're not that fussed about it. They just see it as getting from A to B. Whereas from London, you don't get from A to B. You tap dance from A to be the best person you can be. Here and only here, my friend. Isn't it? I was born with a sort of Oyster card shaped mole on my right palm. I don't even have to pay to get on the tubes.
Which was useless for almost 20 years.
It was useless for 20 years. No one knew what it was.
Came into use for about a dozen years and is now once again obsolete.
That was right. But for that 10 years, my word. That was the toast of the town. Do people, though, have a sense of magic? Ben, when you first got on London's tube, did you feel a sense of wonder, sense of magic?
Yeah, no, absolutely I did. Yeah. Yeah,
what was your first tube experience, remember?
I think it was going to a university open day.
Yeah. Nice.
And I would have got it from Hammersmith, where my father had parked his car.
He wasn't prepared to go any closer.
A non-Londoner from that generation wouldn't feel comfortable.
In fact, I'm impressed he got that far.
Just keep the engine running, right? He's gone in a straight line from Cardiff to London. We're getting into sort of urban streets proper now, residential areas, roundabouts. No. Just
Bail out.
Kick your son out the car. Wish him all the best. 10p for the phone.
Because I've been to London before a few times, obviously, but that was 100% coach trip based. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, the coach taking you all the way to Madame Tussauds or what have you. And enjoying all that London has to offer. Going to see Blood Brothers.
Yeah.
Other bullshit tourist attractions. Not that Blood Brothers is a bullshit tourist attraction, but...
Pick and mix, I think, probably was a big thing. London, you don't...
I mean, this is exactly the sort of thing that drives people around the bend. Imagining that no one else outside of London town has got pick and mix.
No, you wouldn't.
We live and breathe. Pick and mix is where we begin and end in the provinces.
No, but
we've got nothing else.
People outside of London might don't have the imagination to be able to mix. You would pick, but you only have one option, isn't it, per region. So there might be flying saucers, or it might be mini Coke bottles or fried eggs, whatever.
Yeah, but then we mix that up out of the pretend sweets we've whittled out of bits of bark and painted.
Exactly. So, and it's like,
come on, kids, get your Exeter butterscotch balls.
Yeah, they're all heavily dairy-based treats in these parts.
Also, I imagine a lot of them are licorice. There'll be a lot of sort of quite joyless, enjoy your dark as the pits of hell licorice triangle.
Really bitter, burns the mouth. Yeah, make sure you don't rub your eyes, kids, after you've eaten this for a few days.
Oh, it's a salty licorice punch.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Now, here's your 3 pints of flat cider. Get that down, you.
And get back to work. Birthday's over. No, we can't do this. I can't say these things.
You can't. No.
Too late, Henry.
Oh, shit.
Too late.
We've got you.
Thing is, obviously, the rest of the UK has everything that London has, apart from, and this is why I was getting those coach trips as a teenager, We Will Rock You. Mm-hmm. That we don't have that outside of London.
No.
That's the Queen musical, where they tell the Queen's story using only songs from Queen. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
They don't tell the Queen story.
No,
they tell the Queen A story. Do they?
Yeah, she's there every night. Yeah.
Yeah.
All stand for the King.
We're entering the Regal Zone. Regal Zone. Regal Zone.
Off with their heads.
On with the show.
Listen not to the whores and the shopkeepers.
Bring me more advisors.
The Regal Zone.
Front row. Yeah. The Queen was the first person to have that idea of, you know, doing a podcast where you sort of watch the same thing every day or whatever.
Yeah.
That's based on her, because she's been doing that as a sort of prank.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you sit next to the Queen in We Will Rock You, she gives you a kind of wry take on it as it goes along.
And she does that trick, doesn't she, where she offers you a bit of popcorn, but she's got a royal hand poking up the bottom, and then she grabs your hand and gives you a fright in the middle of the performance.
Yeah, accuses you of treason.
Well, actually, We Will Rock You has closed. I don't want our listeners to be jumping on planes, trains and automobiles to get to central London to watch a musical that is now closed.
Yeah.
I think my first experience of London that I can remember is being taken to see the Elton John exhibition when he was getting rid of a bunch of stuff. He was having a good old clear out. He was decluttering before
it's basically a sort of jumble sale he was into.
But jumble sale at the sort of, you know, Sotheby's level, I think it was. It was one of the major auction houses. And this would have been late 80s, I think. And it was absolutely enormous, the amount of stuff there. And it was all his sort of boots and costumes and glasses and feather boas. And I remember thinking it was quite cool. But I also remember thinking that for one man, this seemed like a bit much.
Yeah.
First impression.
Hang on, I think Elton John's a bit over the top.
Exactly. Little 9-year-old Mike was thinking, hold on a second.
Hang on.
Do you really need 57 pairs of glasses with palm leaves coming out of them? Because it's cool, and I'd love a pair. Don't get me wrong, I'd love a pair, Elton, but come on.
I think what the culture needs is grunge. A kind of pared back plaid shirt based kind of...
A down at heel aesthetic.
Yeah. Maybe coming out of the Pacific Northwest of America.
I'm thinking Washington State. I'm thinking Seattle.
I'm thinking coffee shops, acoustic sets.
I must remember to write to them when I get home.
And you went home and you wrote in utero.
And I sent it to whom it may concern, Seattle.
Can't believe Mike kicked off grunge.
Yeah. In a direct response to sort of rampant capitalist excess.
That's kind of how they always, it's the classic music documentary trope, isn't it? Of like, you know, as people walked around the excess of the Elton John exhibition across the same city in a basement a mere 10 miles away.
And then it's always the Smiths were playing at the Free Trade Hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the moment, wasn't it, where everything changed. And they always wheel out Paul Morley. Mm. He's wearing a black polo neck.
But he was there.
But he was there.
He was there when it happened. I don't think I've been there yet.
You haven't been there at the birth of a cultural movement?
I don't think so.
Hang on, Mike. You were in the first episode of Three Bean Salad.
Exactly.
Oh, God, yes. Maybe not. Maybe there hasn't been enough water under the bridge yet for that to feel. Yeah, we haven't felt the full
seismic
societal changes that it's going to bring about. Yeah.
The butterfly effect.
Have you ever seen anyone sort of before they were famous in a cool way that you can say? I actually saw them on their first tour. It was just it's only five of us in the room.
I saw Nick Faldo once in Heathrow Airport.
Did you?
Yeah.
There we go. There we go. That's the business.
Doing an acoustic set.
And I was like, this music's never going to catch on.
He's getting ejected from a travel boots for busking.
Well, he was inventing garage, the garage sound.
Right.
in a sunglasses hut.
Yeah.
He was just sort of fiddling around with some ideas in the corner.
Yeah, because golf was always the day job, wasn't it?
With
Faldo.
Yeah.
Same for Nigel Mansell.
Yeah.
He obviously never released any of his music, but if he had.
Yeah. And also, Sebi Ballesteros, as far as I know, never took up music. But if he had, he may have been good at it.
I've often thought he'd have been a good clarinetist.
Yeah.
I don't care who knows it.
These are the great imponderables. I mean, certainly if he played a clarinet the way he used a golf club.
Well, he would have smashed it to pieces within 4 seconds flat.
He'd have got through a lot of them. it would certainly have been quite punk.
It doesn't feel like the clarinet has been explored very widely by the punk genre.
No. It hasn't yet, has it? For the first time today, there's this new musician, right? There's this new girl who's a pop star who's won something.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I didn't realise you had the inside track.
I told you, cut me, I bleed London. Yeah, I know what's bubbling up from these streets.
Yeah.
She's called Toya Wilcox, and she's going to be huge.
It's a band. I think, if I heard it right, they were called Ben Rama Rama or Ben Rama Ben Rama.
No, that's...
You always apple papple.
It might be apple papple apple. It, but this girl, and they're describing her music, and she's just won some award or something. And obviously, she's done it all digitally from her bedroom, which is the future of everything. Mm. Just people in their bedrooms, doing stuff digitally.
That's the way that middle-aged people like to talk about it. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, no, people have got their finger on the pulse. They'll be on their bedroom. That's what the future of the workplace will look like. Mm. Everyone's office will just look like a bedroom, and you'll go to work.
Yeah.
You'll get into your room. You'll take some of your clothes off.
Steady.
No, because you'll get into sort of bed clothes, then you get into bed.
Yeah.
Then you start doing stuff on your laptop.
Yeah.
And there'll be droids that look like parents that occasionally poke their head in the door and go, why is there macaroni cheese all over the toilet? Or something.
Why haven't you finished mortaring that brick wall? It's supposed to be ready by tomorrow.
Exactly.
Big insight into both of your childhoods there. Mike being put to work, carrying the hod. Henry somehow shitting macaroni cheese up the wall.
So they're talking about this pop star, right? And she, apparently, the so
Benny Rama.
I can't remember what she was called. But they were saying, and actually... She describes...
It's not Billie Eilish, is it?
No, that's the thing. It wasn't even Billie Eilish. It was newer than Billie Eilish. Because I thought you wouldn't ever be able to get newer than Billie Eilish. I thought it was Fukuyama's End of History with Billie Eilish, that she would be, this is the end of... This is, no one can ever be younger than this. Yeah.
New is finished. There's no more new.
You can't be newer and younger and more up and coming than her. Mm-hmm. She still lives with her parents. She's still mainly in bed a lot of the time. Yeah. She's massive. This is it. But no, there's a new one.
And then Benny Rama came along.
Benny Rama. And what she's saying is, no, what they were saying about her is that, and of course her music, and they played a bit of her music, and to me it sounded like I'd had my head rammed into a Nintendo games console.
I mean, you're going full-blown boomer here. And it's fascinating listening to this because I definitely listened to the same article on the Today programme on BBC Radio 4 this morning.
Don't tell them that's what it was. They might think I was listening to the audio version of some relatively millennial...
I know that's where you're getting your information from. I know you haven't got it from the streets at all.
Oh, no.
You're a fraud. You're a fraud, sir.
But didn't you feel that her music sounded like your head was inside sort of the Mario universe and you were having like Mario soundtracks and like the sound you'd get when you'd like go over a coin?
It stressed you
that
out.
Was happening from inside your own skull or something.
It didn't trigger me to that extent. It wasn't to my taste, but I don't think it's aimed at me by the same token.
But then what the person on the...
Guys, can I just butt in?
Yeah.
Someone has sent us a version of our Three Bean Salad theme tune. There's very much in that vein.
Oh, great.
What, in the Mario vein?
I think it's called Chip Tune.
Oh,
do you want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
So, I, as I say, I've not heard Benny Benarama, so I don't know if this is in the same world. But this was sent to us by someone called Llama.
Okay, which sounds a bit like Benarama.
It could be Benny Benarama. She writes, "Hi Beans, I hope you're still taking submissions for these theme tunes. I've done a little remix of the theme tune in a chip tune style. P.S. Mini bollocking for Mike for suggesting that Keeping Birds isn't on these days. My cockatiel and I have been together 23 years, and he lives a life of luxury."
Wow. Okay. Well, then, I withdraw my concerns. And congratulations, may you have another 23 years of luxury to come.
So, Mike, were you saying that people don't have birds as pets anymore?
No.
He was saying it's not on anymore.
My impression was that having a caged bird was felt rum to me. You both disagreed at the time. And it seems that the general sentiment is that was a bum steer.
Can I tell you something? You've triggered a memory about birds that I think I have to say.
Okay.
I have to tell you, because otherwise I won't remember it again. Ben, is that all right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So because you know sometimes something happens to you that's really weird, and then it's so weird that you're like, I'm not sure if that happened. And then sometimes you completely forget about it. Wait, so you don't know if you've forgotten about it or not. I mean, but wait,
yeah.
But no, but then something else which makes you remember it. That's what's just happened.
Oh.
Which is this. I haven't thought about this since it happened. But about a week ago, I was walking in the park.
How long ago was that?
I know.
It's incredible how these things get unearthed.
I know, right?
Go on.
And I was walking along in the park, and there was a guy walking in front of me, and I thought, it's a bit odd. It looked like he was wearing a rucksack, but around the front, which is a bit odd, but not the weirdest thing that's ever happened. And then as I walked past him, I looked to my left, and I looked at him, and he was wearing a transparent rucksack on the front of his body, inside which were two exotic birds. Mm-hmm. And he was just walking around town with a transparent rucksack and two exotic birds.
Well.
It's quite weird, isn't it? Do you think that really happened?
Well, in London, anything goes, right?
In London, anything's possible.
They'll all be doing it next week.
Only in London. And you know what? I looked at him, and I thought, you know what? Because I'm not from the regions, I don't judge you. And I looked at his parrots and I thought, I don't judge you guys either. And I could tell they were looking at me and thinking the same.
You just took it in your stride, didn't you?
Yeah, I took it in my stride and I thought to myself, if this was happening anywhere in Britain outside of London...
Oh, he'd be...
They'd be pelted with rocks.
All of them.
He'd be dangling from the cathedral clock by now.
If they were lucky, those cockatoos or parrots, whatever they were, would have been separated and
put to work. You know, one in the local prep... one in Ask Pete.
What, local prep school?
Yeah. As a sportsmaster.
Yeah. And the other, what? What about the other one?
Probably sabbatical.
Well, kick off with a sabbatical.
Kick off with a sabbatical.
He's got off quite lightly.
Then get it into see a sort of careers advisor and see what sort of qualifications we might get it.
Is it that the London property market is so upside down at the moment that two rich cockatiels are able to...
Live on a man.
Pay a man to live on his chest.
He's subletting his own chest.
Or could it be the other way around? Would it be if it was the other way around?
He's renting the space in between some bag straps. For 1,500 quid a month.
That's the only way he can... That's the only way he can afford to live in London now. It's the only amount of space he can afford is enough not to even go around his whole body, but just between his shoulder blades, between his nipples. Be too expensive around the back.
Well, his front shoulder blades, a.k.a. his nipples. So what you say?
Exactly. Well, they're in line, probably, aren't they? So he's renting that space, and is he subletting it to the cockatoos then to make some money back?
Yeah, but if he gets caught, he's for it.
He is for it. He should not make it transparent. It's for the first hurdle there.
Yeah, on the website, it was described as an ambulant conservatory.
What, on Rightmove?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could picture the estate agent, couldn't you, giving him the tour? Can you? So, as you see, sir, there's loads of space here. But he did it in his own nipples? I don't know.
And it's south-facing, or it can be. It depends.
Can be.
But there's one rule. Do not sublet this to two cockatoos, whatever you do.
There's a peck at the door. Ignore it. Well, there's no door, but
there's the front pocket.
Anyway, just say no.
If you feel a peck on either of your front shoulder blades, just don't answer. Keep your head down. And there's Wi-Fi as long as you're in a place with Wi-Fi.
It's really near the tube as long as you're standing somewhere near the tube.
And it's got an excellent spacious toilet if you're in the disabled toilets in Costa and Chiswick.
Storage depends on how big your mouth is.
Anyway, so Llama has sent us this version of our tune.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel might be, I don't know, it sounds like what you were describing with Benny Benny Llama. Benny Benny Llama.
Let's have a listen. Yeah, that to me is classic kind of 90s Nintendo type stuff.
That was brilliant. I love that.
You see, Henry likes this one.
That was brilliant. Well, that's kind of the sound I hear when young people talk. No, but that sort of that to me, that's the future, isn't it? That's how young people think. It's plink plunk plink plunk reward. Ding ding ding. Plink plunk plink plunk reward. Ding ding ding. That's how young people think. And everything is like a Japanese cat, isn't it? That's what everything is. It's like Japanese cat, smiling rabbit, Japanese rabbit. Ding 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 ding. Reward. Retro Rubik's Cube. Is it? Is it retro? I don't know. I mean, it is, yeah, but ding, ding, ding. Japanese rabbit. Reward. Ding, ding, ding. Do you know what I mean?
Not really.
I know what you mean, but I don't agree with you.
A sticker with a picture of a carrot on it. Okay, fine.
So, Henry, what's your internal monologue as opposed to that one, then?
Sort of mellifluous cello solo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Low and swooping.
Mine is, yeah. Let's just keep an eye on things here and see how they pan out. That's generally my state. Just going to see how this pans out.
Reward, reward, reward. Yogurt, yogurt, yogurt.
I've got more of a sort of 60-piece marching band.
Get on with it, get on with it, get on with it, get on with it. Get on with it, get on with it. Stop it, so lazy, get on with it.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
You're on holiday. Have fun now. I told you to relax. It's 20 past five. We're supposed to be relaxing now.
Is that kind of thing?
Yeah. Whereas, what's yours, Ben?
Mine's just the whistling wind of an Arctic tundra. A kind of loud silence.
The occasional distant howl of a lone wolf.
Rifle fire from the trees.
The insurgents are coming.
Soon they'll meet my traps.
And you're ready to spend your seventh day hiding inside the belly of a dead polar bear.
God, I love it here.
Since I sucked out his eyeballs from the inside, it's been great because I can look out through his eye holes.
Now time for me to record my podcast.
The acoustics inside this belly are amazing.
Do you know the movie trope I don't like is something I've seen happen more and more recently? I think it's a bit of a trend, which is the use of the slightly ironic use of 80s music in a sci-fi battle scene. Like, you know, they do that in, his thing is Guardians of the Galaxy, where the whole thing's got like a kind of slightly ironic 80s soundtrack.
There's a lot of that about these
days. It's really gross. There's something I think
I didn't mind the first couple of times I came across it. I thought, oh, that's quite a fun idea.
Yeah.
But it's big.
Is that a link to the phenomenon of the casual wisecrack in the middle of a sort of, you know.
Yes, it's absolutely
knocking over a skyscraper.
Taking it one further. Yeah, yeah.
It'll be like, yeah, the alien sort of fleet appears on the horizon.
Yeah.
And then someone goes, let's do what we got to do. And then they'll like push a tape in, because it'll be a cassette player for some reason. Yeah, and right, they'll be like, here I go again on my own. And they'll start like doing a spaceship battle. Yeah. It's such an annoying trope.
It's a demographic calculation that's been done by an algorithm thing, isn't it? It's been calculated that they've worked out the ages of the audience, the ages of the dads of the audience, and the mums, yes. And they've said, right, so they've, you know, if, you know, because obviously Mike Wozniak is a sort of demographic, he's a demographer's dream, isn't he? Mike Man. Yeah. They call it Mike Man.
Yeah.
The demographers, they talk about Mike Man.
Straight up and down, really
mustachioed.
Yeah.
Likes big guitar riffs.
Yeah.
So Mike Man, his children, who are probably the age that Marvel films are aimed at, they'll have heard a certain degree of that big guitar sort of 80s and 90s rock in the car.
He wants to hear some big guitar.
Yeah.
He wants to see some responsible driving.
Yeah. Exactly.
He wants to see children eating their greens, if we can get that in the movie.
I remember, Henry, you once pointing out to me that in the Star Wars films and films of that genre, there's a lot of people travelling around, but no one's ever got any bags.
I've often thought about that.
No luggage. Yeah.
I think we're supposed to believe that they've just got little sort of pellets in their belts. They often have belts, don't they? So they can occasionally they'll pull out a machine that goes...
Yeah.
I think we're supposed to believe there's a little pouch that's got a pellet for food, a pellet that wipes your bum.
A pellet that is some trousers.
But it's a spare pair of trousers.
You just add water and they sort of... And they expand and become a pair of really uncomfortable wet trousers.
A pellet that's a series of Jack Reacher novels, because you've got a lot. You're doing a lot of travelling.
It's the pelletized universe.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's one of the it's one of the sort of things that happens. There you go. sometimes you do have, you know, it is. Yeah, sometimes you reach for the word and you find the word. It's one of the things, isn't it, of sci-fi films? There's a lot of travel, no luggage. No sort of going to bed, really. I've been watching The Mandalorian for about... I've seen most of the first series.
It's weird that they cut those scenes, isn't it?
They cut the old 8 hours sleep. Because there's no way The Mandalorian's not getting a good 8 hours. Have you seen him in a fight? He's on it.
They cut him brushing his teeth and you know... They
all that stuff.
Putting a little glass of water by his bed and pulling a bit of fluff out of his belly button.
None of that's in...
Yeah, if you watch the director's cut with Mandalorian, which you can get on Disney Plus, there's a great bit where they're about to go into the cave in the desert to defeat the huge beast, and he says, "Right, we'll do that in a second. I've just got to have a shit though." So I just
also I've just realised I've left my slippers on. I've got my bloody slippers on. Sorry,
sorry.
I'm having a bit of a slow morning this morning.
I would say in films in general, if you added up all the times a character goes into a toilet, you're more likely to get beaten up than do a shit.
But you know what? I think there's a scene in The Mandalorian early on where you see his toilet on the spaceship. Do you remember that? And it's a really weird moment to see a Star Wars toilet.
And that's the sort of thing. That's the kind of like primary school rumour that would set things ablaze.
Yeah, that would be huge. Good luck teaching double geography that morning.
That would be so huge. And then people would be rushing back home trying to get VHSs out, trying to rewind to find the right point. See if you get to see Han Solo's bog.
But I can't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast, but I did have a piss next to Han Solo once.
You did, but on a bit that never got...
Did it never get in? Yeah, it was just at the when I went to see Secret Cinema of Empire Strikes Back. It was full of actors playing... actors playing Star Wars characters, like in the Star Wars films. it was really accurate in that respect.
But they were playing the characters, or they were playing the actors playing the
That's a good question. That would have been a good icebreaker when I was doing a piss next to Han Solo, because I did find it quite tense being next to Han Solo in a urinal.
Yeah, which is how he wants you.
Or at least I found it a moment. It was a moment where I thought, I'm going to remember this.
And you were right.
and I was right. I tell you what, if I'd looked down and I'd seen Luke Skywalker's severed hand in the urinal, that would have been a hell of an achievement. I suppose there is a parallel universe where that happened. the other fallacy which happens in a lot of, I think there are certain fallacies that need to happen in order to make the engine of a story run smoothly. One is no toilets. Okay, it's almost like day one. No one's having a shit or a piss in this universe. No sleeping.
Yeah, if that's what your movie pitch starts with, you need to get back to the drawing board.
Yeah. And the other one is parking. Excellent parking. Look out for this now in box sets, films, everything. The amount of there's no parking restrictions effectively in the sort of in the silver screen. Well, you pull up in front of wherever it is you want to go.
And it is odd that they, because I want to see those park and ride scenes, right? I want to see
because exactly. It's actually much cheaper to park much cheaper on the outskirts on the ring road.
Better for the environment. Get on the ring road. Get in the park and ride. There'd be buses every 10 minutes. You know?
So your escape car for the heist. You takes you up to the park and ride, and you get off.
The shuttle up to the you get the shuttle bus up to your park and ride.
Yeah,
get in the park and ride. It's free. Away you go,
and it's green.
Yeah,
it's a win-win.
You're right. I've never seen them struggling to park in a film.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Once you look out, in fact, once it's a bit probably a bit annoying this to tell people, but what because once you are aware of it, you kind of keep noticing the ease with which people pull up, get out, and go straight in the front door of wherever they're going all the time.
Yeah.
The other big fallacy:
toast never needs to go down twice. Toast is always already on the first pop.
Oh yeah,
that's a good point.
They found the perfect number.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
They're not telling us what it is.
Yeah,
that's always obscured by the actor's hand or a mug.
That's right. That's right.
The thing that I was watching something recently, and obviously everyone in all sort of TV and movies is beautiful.
Well, we're all beautiful, Ben.
Yeah.
Why not, though? That's no.
Oh, no, sorry.
I'm not, wrong. I'm not, yeah, right. You know, I'm not going not, along
yeah,
with
yeah,
that.
Carry on, yeah.
We're all hideous, if anything.
Yeah.
Obviously, in films, everyone's beautiful.
Mm, yeah.
But what annoys me is when there's a character who's meant to be unattractive, they are also always beautiful.
But they've just got specs.
Just got specs.
And they're wearing the hair
Or
up.
They're not kind of skeletally thin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was watching something where the whole point was like, oh, she's not meant to be good looking. And she was undeniably stunning.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
I think the truth is, if you were to show humanity the truth of its own ugliness, I think there'd be bad consequences for the planet, maybe. Is it that we need to see only super beautiful people on? Because think how big a cinema screen is. Imagine my gnarled, oniony face. Yeah. It looks like my face, the best of times, looks like a bag of root veg that's been kicked around by a load of teenagers, isn't it? And someone has scrawled a picture of a picture of a rat's face on it with an old biro, right? And that's being charitable.
And then put some specs on it.
And put some specs on it. Some decent specs, to be fair.
Some well-chosen glasses.
Some well-chosen glasses. Imagine that, you know, 25 foot tall on a silver screen.
Mm. And indeed, casting directors haven't they?
They have, and they've come to a very, very quick decision about the best way to go with this project. But I think it's a bit like, you know, when cinema was first invented, the first film ever was a train coming straight towards the camera.
Which is a great choice. It's a great choice for a first movie ever.
It's a great choice. I mean,
I've always loved
obviously,
that.
Sadly, the cameraman obviously was...
Obliterated.
Absolutely obliterated.
But he'd have known, this is going to be worth it. People are going to be talking about this for years, and it is going to scare the willies out of these dickheads.
Yeah. And obviously people were running out of the cinemas, weren't they, going, bloody hell. And there were also a lot of them were actually already complaining about the price of the popcorn at the same time. They were like, bloody hell, that train was going to kill us. And £4 for that. And some people were going, well, you know, I did enjoy the trailers because the trailers, obviously, there was a canoe coming towards you. Wasn't it? That was being trailed. Yeah. A few other things like that. But they probably thought that this is a powerful medium here. If we get normal-looking people up on these screens... It's going to freak audiences out. Bearing in mind, a train freaked them out. A train is a really weird-looking person. No, I don't know.
Being hit by a train is nothing compared to looking at a regular person's face. You may remember us talking about museums. Well, it's time to go back even further into the dusty old archives and pick out some more chat.
I think you need to be careful who you hire to entertain your child because... You know, and look at the mythology of the fictional work that you're asking them to recreate. For example, I'm thinking about a situation where you hire someone to come around and give your child a snowman-themed Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
You come home, he's melted your son. Do you see what I mean?
There's nothing left but your son's scarf.
There's nothing left but your son's scarf and his carrot.
And his carrot nose.
His carrot nose. And the three coals, bits of coal he always had stapled to his front body. Do you know what I mean?
It's a strong point.
Have you ever paid for an entertainer, Mike, to come and do your child's party? Or has it fallen to you?
As a showbiz insider.
As a showbiz insider.
The shame would be too great to delegate that elsewhere, to outsource it.
So you'll give them a full sort of...
Put my clown shoes on. Get my silk scarves out. Start pulling them out of wherever I can pull them out from.
Didn't you do a one-man, two gentlemen of Verona for them?
I did.
What do you do?
Well, you learn fast, I think.
Yeah.
The worst one I did... was when we were doing party games and they were very young and we were doing musical chairs. And that was my worst mismanagement because someone would miss a chair and at which point I'd go, "You're out!" And then we'd move on to the next one and then, "You're out!" And then, "You're out!" And then looked around at some point and realised that, you know, there's three people still playing the game and I'm surrounded by weeping children and very angry-looking parents.
So what have you been doing wrong there?
I think the modern child expects to be rewarded at all times. So if you're playing a game like that, then someone says you're out, then your average child expects to then be presented with a prize for getting out, like a small bag of Carabao or something like that. And so they actually want to get out. That's, you're supposed to incentivize losers. That's the idea.
And that's what's gone wrong with this country.
I absolutely bloody give up. You know what? I actually give up. You know what that's me. That's the sound of me. I'm actually giving up.
But they only need to go to one party where they're nicely treated, and they expect to be nicely treated from that point on.
I remember being a moment in my childhood when I realised that during Pass the Parcel...
Mm-hmm.
The person pressing stop on the tape or whatever, you know, there'd be a bit of music playing.
That there was a puppet master, essentially.
Yeah, that it was basically the dad of the person who it was, and they were stopping it. So they were choosing, essentially, who was getting each layer.
Yeah.
And often then the centre layer, which would have the best thing in the middle, would go to the person whose birthday it was. Yeah. I thought for a long time that was just coincidence.
So the kid to your left who's lingering, holding on to the package as long as they can before passing it, they're on a hiding to nothing, and they don't know that.
Yeah, because
the beady-eyed father is watching that child going, "You piece of shit, just pass the parcel. Yeah, you're not getting this layer. I'll see to that. Let it go."
You know what? Having this conversation, I'm literally getting a sensory memory sort of thing in my sort of lower body. I'm remembering the excitement, the unbelievable excitement I used to feel when that package was going round.
Mm. Oh, it's and, rock solid game.
And that when you held it, that brief moment, and as you say, that you try and...
Everything
you try
else
and somehow
falls
elongate
away.
The process of... Yeah. It was like a great athlete passing the baton, but as slowly as possible.
It's like a terrible athlete.
Like an absolutely terrible athlete. But yeah, you would try and sort of slow time down, wouldn't you, as you received it?
Try and play.
It's like the opposite of passing a bomb around.
Mm-hmm. It's like the exact opposite of passing a bomb around, which is why that's so much less successful as a party game.
You can't be the house. It's the child's first lesson that, you know,
you can't be
in
the
Vegas,
house.
The house always wins.
But I remember you'd go, "Right, here I am accepting the parcel into my wrist area. Mm-hmm. Now I am closing," but pretending this is how you usually do it, "now I'm closing my palms.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fingers are now, the pinky fingers, the ring fingers, the middle fingers, the pointy fingers, and the thumb.
You always pick up things with your pinkies first.
Pinky first.
Mm-hmm.
Go in pinkies. You know what I mean? Save the best till last." But I tell you what, once what happened was at my house, it was my birthday party, and I didn't win.
Pass the
parcel, and I cried and did a huge tantrum, which I've never forgotten. I was utterly, utterly disgusted. So that's what I couldn't believe. It was my birthday, and I hadn't won pass the parcel. Now, I don't know if my parents just dropped the ball or if they were trying to teach me a lesson about life or something.
Or maybe they're using a vinyl sound system. Those are a bit harder to navigate.
Could have been that.
Well, there was always a weird moment, wasn't there, where so Dad is sort of picking who gets what, mm-hmm. what's when it stops. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, there's always a moment in every song where the song stops.
Oh, yes.
And that's a legal grey area.
Because oh, yeah.
Has the parcel stopped or are we just sort of in between songs so you have to keep parceling it?
Yeah.
That was always a very dangerous moment. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
I don't think that's ever been fully... Certainly as a child, I tried to escalate it as far as I could.
Yeah, it's not been tested in the highest courts of the land, I don't think.
Exactly. I only got as far as Star Chamber. but we couldn't go full European level
with it. It's too late.
Yeah, and now it's too late, of course, and that's what Brexit's all about.